This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
Kind of rolling along here on Tampa. Be kind of like a sort of like a regular Thursday practice for us as we, you know, prepare for the Sunday game. So, as I've said all week, you know, we're excited about playing this team.
Patriots podcast live from Gillette Stadium in Foxborough.
You know, I think the red jerseys in training camp are, you know, good because the work that we're doing, and you know, we're going at a good tempo. Guys are rushing the passer. They're not maybe as aware of the quarterback in the pocket as what they are after, you know, 20 some practices in a game, and you know, potential collisions. You know, we try to save those for the game and not blow each other up in practice.
Now, with your Patriots 2008 training camp updates, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Here at Gillette Stadium for a very special training camp podcast because it's the second to last one.
The penultimate,
of
one
the
might
summer.
Even say.
Yeah, I figured you would come for the pompous word. That's why I just said second to last. But anyway, you've already heard Eric Scalavino bore you with his vocabulary. Michael Parenti has graced us with his presence for a training camp podcast.
Hi, Paulie. Back for the second day in a row for a podcast.
That's nice.
It's a
record. This is really nice.
It is nice. It's nice to have all three of us here without Andy's potty humor.
Well, that's true.
That's a good point.
And without Andy, we could probably get this in about 15 fewer minutes than it normally takes. So let's get right into it. And a lot of passing game work today. Some situational stuff at the end, which I thought was somewhat interesting. Overall, kind of choppy, I thought, from start to finish. Any overall impressions to start before I get into the nuts and bolts?
No, I think you hit it on the head, Paul. And you know what? And I think the players are sort of getting to that stage where they're kind of glad that training camp is almost over. You can kind of almost feel it in the way they're practicing. You know, there's one day left, no more of the weird, unorthodox scheduling of when practice is going to be. They're going to get into a routine next week. Bill kind of talked about, you know, sort of transitioning into that regular season type mode. So I think it's, you know, it's been, what, 3 full weeks?
Yeah.
Now with training camp.
Yeah,
so
Thursday to Thursday, right?
Yeah, so their second preseason game is coming up. I think everyone's just kind of had enough of training camp, and it's kind of showed a little bit in practice.
Yeah, I think at this point you start going through the motions when camp's starting to wind down. You've done everything ad nauseum, and you've repeated everything several hundred times. Early on, though, I thought a lot of work on the running game with Lawrence Maroney. They worked on some screens and some of the dump offs.
Were a lot of screens, absolutely.
Some of the stuff that I think we're going to see a lot of this season. And I thought, too, Paul, we talked about it just before the podcast started, the 2-minute drill with the first team offense, I thought personally was as good as the offenses look since I've been here watching them in camp. I thought very few mistakes, if any at all. They were hitting passes. Guys were running the right routes. We usually see a penalty or two somewhere up front. We didn't get it from the offensive line. We got it from the defensive side. But a very good drive altogether.
Yeah, and I thought Bill did a good job of simulating the situations as he always does. And that's something I'm going to write about in an update when we're finished here. But yeah, there was some interesting things, and I agree with you, Mike. I thought that was about as crisp as the first offenses looked pretty much the entire summer. And but just a couple of bookkeeping things I want to get out of the way. Patriots did make a minor roster move. It's not the one we were anticipating, however. Still no word officially on John Lynch. He was not at practice, and he is not officially signed, according to the Patriots, as of 5 o'clock or so Eastern time here in Foxborough. But they did sign an offensive lineman named Steven Sene. And you may remember that name. He's an undrafted rookie free agent out of Liberty, but the reason you might remember the name is the Boston Globe had an interesting little nugget in the Sunday Notes this past week. Mike Reese, he spent time earlier this training camp with St. Louis, and he was one of those guys who, you know, unfortunately gets released to make room for somebody else. But he evidently didn't find out he was released until he was already on the practice field. So he was in the strange situation of being let go.
They were at the 80-man limit.
And they were already on the field, so he took a golf cart back off the field and you know, said his goodbyes. And
that sucks.
Here he is in New England, and to make room for him, the Patriots let go wide receiver Chris Dunlap.
Oh, the poor guy had to run a lap on his first day. I thought there'd be a golf cart waiting for him at the
finish line. he was probably looking for that.
Yeah, that's tough.
So not the big news that we were anticipating, but a move nonetheless. Another large group of players out of uniform for the practice, 20 in all. Noteworthy guys.
Pretty much the same as yesterday, right? The same.
Yeah, I think Seymour 20. Was out yesterday. He was in today.
Right. It's worth noting that Matt Gutierrez was back today.
Yeah,
that was the
I
one
was going
to
say,
that
Gutierrez
swap, right.
and Seymour were in, but in terms of the guys that were out, pretty much the same cast of characters, Jason Webster, Kelly Washington, Jonathan Wilhite, you know, Rodney Harrison, you know, Matt Light, guys like that. The guys that have been out of action, basically, for the large majority of camp, in addition to Adalis Thomas, who I also missed yesterday afternoon's practice. Mm-hmm. Not sure if that's anything to be concerned about yet, but we'll keep an eye on that. On the field, I was kind of watching some of the positional groupings in that, you know, that the cornerback situation in particular. We talked on PFW in Progress about right and left cornerback. Well, today, unequivocally, Ellis Hobbs is playing right cornerback from start to finish. He was out there with the first group with Terrence Wheatley for the most part. Wheatley was on the left. Hobbs was on the right. Antoine Spann getting a lot of run as an extra guy, a nickelback in the slot, also playing back safety with Sanders and Merriweather kind of rotating there. So I thought that was interesting. And Bryant working a little bit with Hobbs and Wheatley, also with a second group, depending on who was rotating in. But I thought it was interesting. Hobbs on the right, Wheatley on the left.
Yeah, and you know, when Fernando Bryant was in that first mix before Hobbs came back, I think that's pretty much where he was going, too. He was lined up on the right, even in last week's game in Baltimore. Wheatley was on the left. And honestly, I think Wheatley's had the best camp of all the corners so far. So wearing that 22.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would have said about 3 or 4 days ago Bryant, but lately I think Wheatley has been more consistent. I agree with you.
Yeah, that 22 number has gone from the player who was the number one corner last year to right now, at least, it looks like the guy who's playing like a number one corner so far.
In a real quiet camp for Wheatley, too, because so much focus has been on Gerard Mayo, the number one pick. But here's a kid who's a second-round draft pick coming in out of a big school. He's playing real well. He's been real consistent in camp. He's been out there every day, which is the best thing you could possibly do, not miss an extended amount of time like guys like Jason Webster have done. So I think, you know, he hasn't gotten a lot of publicity in this camp so far, but here's a guy that could be a week one starter opposite Ellis Hobbs, and I wouldn't be surprised to see that.
And you know what I think has been good for him, that he's a rookie and he's going up against one of the best receivers of all time in Randy Moss a lot of times, and he's holding his own.
Randy Moss?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to clarify that. I didn't know if you were talking about Ray Ventrone or
well, I said
Dunlap.
One of.
But, you know, yeah. Dunlap's gone now.
Right.
So.
But no, I mean, honestly, I think that's been good for him.
Yeah.
He's
absolutely,
the first couple of days it was like, oh, you know, Moss is really working the rookie. But then after those first couple of days, you say, well, okay, he's not getting him all the time. Wheatley's making some good plays against him, and then you know it's he's gotten some confidence off of that, I think, and that's worked for him. That's one of the reasons why, like you said, Mike, he's quietly having that camp.
It's like swinging a weighted bat in the on-deck circle.
Exactly.
Prepare yourself for something big. When you get to the field, you're not facing guys as good as Randy Moss, because let's face it, there aren't as many as good as Randy Moss. It's going to be beneficial
exactly.
for him in the long run.
I think that's a benefit to him.
One guy that stood out to me today also, who I thought has been kind of quiet for most of camp, was Eric Alexander. He was getting some run with Gerard Mayo and Teddy Bruschi, different depending on the packages with the ones. He had been kind of, I thought, down the depth chart a little bit. A lot of passing game work that we talked about at the beginning, so I think that was kind of playing into his hands. Saw him doing a lot in coverage. Some plays he got beat on, but a lot of plays he was right there and made a terrific one-handed interception in a 7-on-7 drill. Mm-hmm. I thought he stood out today.
Yeah, he did, and it's about time. I mean, we've been waiting for that for a while. He's one of those guys. You know, Pierre Woods was another one at the start of camp. We were both saying, you know, both of these guys have been in the system long enough. They need to start showing something. I think Woods has shown something, and Alexander's been a little bit slower in doing that. But of late, I think you're right, Paul, especially today's practice, he looked pretty good.
Well, this is going to be a big game for him coming up, too. We talked about Antoine Spann having a big test now because reportedly John Lynch is coming in, and that could be a safety spot up for grabs. I think the same goes for Eric Alexander because obviously he's not a lock to make this final roster. And at this point, to me, he's on the outside looking in, so I think he's going to need a couple of big preseason games and to show something against somebody else to maybe put himself back over the line and back into good graces again.
Yeah, after practice, you mentioned the thing about Lynch. You know, James Sanders was asked about that. He basically, you know, he doesn't really have much personal relationship with John Lynch or anything like that. He said he didn't know him, but did say that, you know, when he thought of him, he thought of, you know, that tone-setting kind of safety. So, you know, I think that the players are aware of what's going on and obviously would welcome him in. Interestingly, for the first time of camp, Dean Pease talked, drew a sizable crowd. Dom Capers also spoke, I think, a one-on-one with Karen Grigian of the Boston Herald. Pease talked a lot about different aspects of the defense. Talked about the rookies, Mayo, Wheatley, and some of the other guys, Will Height. Also talked about Tank Williams a little bit and that you explained that you can't just scrap anything that you might have had in mind, you know, with one player. You have to find a way to replace that player. So no part of the defense is going to be eliminated. I'm not sure if that tells you how they plan on using Lynch or not, But certainly, you know, the things that they wanted to do with Tank Williams are still going to be in play. Mm-hmm. My personal belief is that guys like Alexander and Mayo, some of the more athletic linebackers, will be taking those kind of roles. But, we'll see how that unfolds.
So you think Mayo and a guy like an Alexander could drop further back into coverage in certain passing situations and play that mid-range role of
I'm
a
thinking more
or,
in terms of side-to-side.
Just
the
side-to-side, okay.
Yeah.
Because in other words,
that really hurt the
both.
Patriots in Indianapolis in 06 in that AFC
right.
Championship game. You know, across the middle, mm-hmm. covering the patterns that Wes Welker runs.
Right.
Really. You know, they need someone to be able to get in the way. And I'm not sure that as well as Bruschi and Sayal played last year and as durable as they were, I'm not sure those guys are capable of doing that.
Yeah, they're built for a different style of play.
That's what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, so I think you're right.
But also, looking ahead to Tampa Bay, and we heard Bill in the open talk about the Bucs and, you know, the preparing for almost like a regular season week this week. Kevin O'Connell drawing some attention, you know, whether or not he's going to get some playing time. He was asked about his expectations for the weekend.
Just know that I'm going to play. I mean, same as last week. There wasn't really a set way of doing things. I think you just got to be ready to play. A whole lot and have the game plan digested by the time Sunday rolls around.
What do you feel is the biggest area that you want to concentrate on in this game? I mean, obviously the first effort is kind of like, you know, I'm out here for the first mm-hmm. time. What did you learn and how do you feel like you can apply it?
Learned a ton last week. I mean, every snap there was something new that I learned to apply going forward here. And that's the thing, I just want to continue to grow. And I feel like we've had a solid week of preparation so far, and I know personally I have still a lot of work to do to get ready for Sunday, and I just want to continue to be able to move the football and be a catalyst whenever I'm in there.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, Kevin O'Connell talking about some of the things that he's been working on and learning and hoping to put into play against the Bucs.
I think his chances of getting more reps were a little diminished today when Gutierrez came back to practice. I thought that if Gutierrez had missed a couple of days' work, and that if he were going to take out the weekend, maybe that would have given O'Connell a chance to get a little bit more playing time, a little bit more game experience in the pro level here. But with Gutierrez back, there's still that battle between him and Castle for who's going to be the number two, and I think you'll probably see more of those two guys and a little bit less of O'Connell. You know, he'll get probably a few more snaps than last week if he's lucky, but I don't know if he'll get any much more than that.
Yeah, I agree, because we're obviously going to see Tom Brady out there for an extended amount of time. Not too much, but enough to at least get some work in, which means somebody has to get fewer reps this time around. And I would imagine it's going to be the rookie third-round pick. And when you see Gutierrez come out today and only really miss 2 days, that's not enough of work for him to not be able to be implemented into the Tampa Bay game plan. I think he can go out there and just play, and apparently the bruise has healed up, whatever that bruise was, so we figure we'll see him out there.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how those quarterback reps get divided up. And like you said, Mike, you know that Brady's going to play. Mm-hmm. So, maybe Belichick decides to pick one or the other, Matt.
Like a showcase game,
you know,
maybe.
And give him a shot this week and then finish up with O'Connell and then give the other Matt a shot next week after Brady's done. Presumably, Brady plays a little bit longer next week.
But yeah, that third game is always the big
one. Yeah, interesting to see how that will get divided up. Obviously, none of those four quarterbacks is probably going anywhere through the end of the preseason anyway, so they'll all get an opportunity, unless there's some kind of trade, I would think. I don't think anybody would get released. I think maybe a trade. But we'll see how that all unfolds. One final note. Tomorrow's practice, the final one of training camp, originally was closed to the public. It is now open, so you want to stress that. It is open to the public. It begins special time, 12 noon here at Gillette Stadium. The practice field's behind Gillette Stadium, more accurately. 12 noon to 2 p.m. Practice is open to the public, weather permitting. I'll always check with Patriots.com for any of the latest developments in terms of that. And this year, more than any other, this summer, you need to be aware of the weather.
Record-setting thunderstorm summer this year.
You know, suddenly we live in Miami and we get a thunderstorm every afternoon. So keep an eye on that, and we hope that you guys get a chance to catch the Patriots one more time before the end of the public portion of training camp. But I think that's going to put a wrap on the second-to-last training camp podcast. We will be with you tomorrow for the last one. Regardless of the weather, we will be here. And in the immortal words of Andy Hart, peace out.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.